Something that I was asked about, which is nogea also to this week's parsha and Parshas Matos, is when you go away on a vacation to certain rentals. You know, you might want to rent a house, or you might want to rent an apartment or something like that. And oftentimes, you're going to a place that the people who rented before you were not keeping kosher. And it's the summertime, and you want to enjoy all the amenities that the place has to offer. So you want to be able to barbecue on the grill that they provide, or you want to be able to use the stovetop or these other things. So how is it, ever mutter to utilize these items? So in this week's parsha, we find when the Jews capture a lot of the clay midyan that they want to use for themselves, they are told that anything that is used with mayim, so tavir b'mayim, and anything that's used by esh, tavir b'esh. That there is a way to kasher these kalim, and this is the Talmudic, lashon that we use in halacha b'zman hazeh called kibolo kach polto. The same way that something absorbs, that's the way that it expels the flavor. Now, the number one chilek in terms of kibolo kach polto is the difference between liquid intermediaries versus non-liquid intermediaries. Something that absorbs, so for example, if you take a pot and you make macaroni and cheese in the pot, so that blia that happens into the pores of the pot, that flavor is absorbed through water, through the liquid intermediary. Therefore, the flavor can be removed also by a liquid intermediary. You can remove the flavor by boiling up hot water inside the pot. That will open up the pores of the pot, and that will get rid of the it'll expel the flavor that it absorbed into the water. However, that will not work on something which absorbs directly from the item itself without any liquid intermediary. So, for example, if you have a barbecue grill, somebody took his non-kosher steak or he put a pork chop directly onto the grates of the grill, and that will absorb the tam from the fire that's burning underneath the meat and the grill and the grates. So that's going to absorb the fire directly from the steak into the metal. So that can't be removed by simply taking the grates and boiling up a huge pot of water and inserting the grates into the water. That's not going to be sufficient to get rid of that tam. So how can you get rid of such a tam? So practically speaking, the best way to do it would be if you have a blowtorch, which is, not everybody has a blowtorch, but if you have one, let's say you're a chef and you make fancy desserts that require blowtorches, or you do some welding, I don't know, and you have some other kind of blowtorch, so you would take the blowtorch and you would put the fire directly onto the grates of the grill, and you'd hold it there, 7 to 10 seconds or so per inch, and you'd be able to kasher it using, this is what we call libun chamor. Some people call it libun chamor, some people call it libun gomor. There's a difference in halacha between what we call libun kal versus libun chamor, but just for today, you use libun chamor to kasher the grill, but this is something that's absorbed through extreme heat, and therefore the flavor has to be gotten rid of via extreme heat, and therefore you take the blowtorch and you put it on every inch of the grates and you'd be good to go. If you want to use the cover of the grill, so you'd probably also want to run the grill at a very high temperature with the cover down, run it for an hour or so, and that way you definitely knocked out any major flavors that are in the hood of the grill. Now, there's a big difference between the way you kasher in terms of a grill versus liquids, what we call hagala. So when it comes to hagala, as we mentioned, you're opening up the pores in the sides of the pot and you're expelling the flavor into the water. Now, the Rishonim already asked, what's to stop the flavors from going into the water and then going back into the pot? So really, the answer is nothing. There are really two solutions that the Rishonim offer. Solution number one is if you have a very large amount of water as per the volume of the walls of the pot, which doesn't really exist except for in aluminum pans, which have very thin walls. Technically, let's say you were koshering silverware, so you take a humongous pot, you boil it up, and the volume of the bleos that could possibly be absorbed into the silverware, you have to assume the maximum blia, because you have no idea how much flavor is actually absorbed into the walls of the of the into the the silverware itself, so you'd have to have 60 times the amount of water of the silverware that you're going to be putting in there. So that's not always so easy to do. So the second solution, which is much more practical, it's brought in a number of Rishonim, is that you should not use the silverware for a full day. Then any flavor that's absorbed into the walls of a kli for more than 24 hours is considered a bad flavor. It's considered stale. It's called nosin tam lefgam. It's a negative flavor infusion. And therefore, when the flavor comes out of it and it gets reabsorbed, it's absorbing a negative flavor, lechatchila, and that doesn't aser. Even if the flavor was made by pork or it was made by nevelus and trefus, it doesn't matter. The flavor doesn't aser if it was negative when it was absorbed the first time. So when it reabsorbs all the flavor that came out of it, it's going to be mutter anyway. That is the basic way of getting around Hagala. The problem is, if you show up at a hotel, you don't know what's been used, or you show up in an apartment or whatever, you don't know if anything's been used within the last 24 hours, so you really have to wait some time before you utilize Hagala. That's why it's not always such great advice in terms of koshering a microwave. When you show up to a hotel room or an apartment, you may not be allowed to kosher the microwave because you might not have waited the requisite 24 hours. You're better off just wrapping all the things you put in there, assuming the microwave is treif. When it comes to the grill, where you're doing libun, that's different. Libun, we're not really concerned with what happens to the flavor after it gets taken out, because your goal is not even to remove the flavor. Your goal is to obliterate the flavor. The intense heat that you're adding over there goes so far as to destroy any blios that are in the walls of the kli. So when you take that blowtorch and you heat up the grill, you are not removing the non-kosher flavors that were taken out of it. You are actually obliterating them, and therefore there's no need to wait 24 hours in advance, because you can destroy a flavor l'chadchila, you can destroy it on the spot, and there's nothing problematic about that of reabsorption. Now, assuming most of us or some of us don't own blowtorches, myself included, what are you going to do in terms of koshering that grill when you show up to the place you rented? So there is a lesser solution. It still works lahalacha. There are kashrus organizations that recommend this, but definitely the blowtorch is the way to go if you happen to be able to get a hold of one. But the secondary solution is to run the grill on the highest temperature for about an hour, again, utilizing the issue of kibolo kach polto. Now, the problem with this is if the grill is not completely clean, which is very hard to do, it's really not so easy to scrub the grates to the point that they're really going to be free of any actual residue. So you may still end up with something problematic. If what you have when you're done with it is like ash, like you find in an oven after the self-clean cycle, then you're good to go. Then you don't have to worry about that. But if there's no, sometimes there's like some barbecue sauce with some fat and some everything, it's all mixed together on the grating of the grill, and you didn't really clean it off properly. And even when you run it on the highest temperature, that doesn't always get obliterated. So you have to be very careful about that to make sure that the grates are clean when you try to do this. If you're using a blowtorch, you don't even have to make sure that the grates are clean when you do this, because the blowtorch will burn up any actual food residue that's on it as well. That's, I forgot to mention, another major difference between Hagala versus Libun is Hagala, you have to make sure everything is sparkling clean, because Hagala doesn't work to remove flavor from actual food. So if you have some non-kosher cheese that's left over from the macaroni and cheese, the fact that you boil it up in a pot is just, you know, moving the flavor of the cheese around. It's not getting rid of it, and it doesn't go bad in 24 hours if there's actual cheese residue. It's just if there's flavor of the cheese that's absorbed into the walls of the pot. It's a big difference. But when you're using a blowtorch, you can just obliterate the cheese on the spot, and you don't have to worry about it. And in this case, in the grill as well. So what else can you possibly do? So you can run it at the highest temperature for about an hour. And if you're afraid, and perhaps rightfully so, that that's not really hot enough to destroy all the flavors that were absorbed into the grates, what you should do is take charcoal briquettes and spread them over the top of the grill. And when you run the grill at the hottest temperature, those briquettes light them, or they'll light up on their own from the heat of the grill, and then you will definitely get that grill hotter than it's ever been before, and most likely the heat of the charcoal that's on top of the grates will heat it up to the extent that it'll burn up anything and everything that was not, that was on top of the grill, anything that was absorbed into the grill, and you'll be able to use the grill for kosher food immediately after the hour is up and you've done this.